Turn with me over to Mark chapter 6. And I want to talk about when God passes by. When God passes by. We're looking at two portions of scripture this morning. And the simple fact that both of them relate the same thing. Mark tells us a little bit of the story and Matthew tells us a little bit of the story. The context of Mark chapter 6 verse 45 through 51, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 on a hillside. And we pick up the story there, and I'm reading this morning from the New King James translation. Follow along whichever translation you have. I want to begin over here with verse 45. And it says, immediately he, that's Jesus, had just fed, made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. Then after he sent them away, he departed to the mountains to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against him. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they saw him, and they were troubled. But immediately, he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. Shall we pray? Father, we ask a blessing upon the reading of your word, and as we look upon this time when Jesus passed by, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, and may your Holy Spirit be our teacher today. In Jesus' name, I pray. See, we see here in the scripture, the disciples were in trouble. They were out on the sea, Sea of Galilee, the wind had whipped up, the waves were high, the wind was blowing back and forth, and they were straining and rowing, and they were in trouble. That's something you and I can relate to, right? We can generally relate to be in trouble. I tell people I live in a couple different states, confusion, trouble, in Missouri. Not necessarily in that order. But the simple fact is, they were in trouble. Now, many times when we get in trouble, we start having problems in our lives, whether family problems, health problems, relational problems, emotional problems, job problems, health problems, all these things. Many times, many people tend to think about, well, what have I done wrong? Many people want to even go as far as say, why is God punishing me for this? And I want you to understand something. When you're in trouble, that's not necessarily because you've walked away from God. It could be, that could be it. But understand here, the disciples were in trouble. Why? Because Jesus sent them out there. His instructions were quite explicit. Get in the boat and go across. They were out there on the sea, not because of something they did wrong, but because Jesus told them to go. That's the key. Jesus allowed them to get out there and get into trouble. Say, God does that? Yeah. Over in James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Understand that God allows us sometimes to have problems, to have tests, to have trials. And that's what he did with the disciples here. He told them to get in the boat and told them to go out. They were there because they had done exactly what Jesus told them to do. You ever run into that in your life? You're doing everything that you can to serve the Lord, to worship and everything, and things just keep coming. The waves keep coming time after time after time. The wind is rocking your boat, so to speak at least. And we have to understand that God allows us to be in these situations. I think Andre Crouch in his old song, Through It All, kind of caught the gist of this when he said, I thank God for the mountains, I thank him for the valleys, I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Now that's not scripture, but that's biblical teaching right there. It's our faith in God. God tells us, and over in James I just read, he allows it to us to go through, to increase our faith, to increase our trust in him. And when we realize that the disciples were out there in the middle of this storm, it was frightening for them. I mean, these were experienced seamen, fishermen, out there. They've been fishing that lake on the lake their entire lives. And the fact is, they were out there and they were in trouble. But the good news is found in verse 48, but Jesus saw them. Jesus was seeing them, straining at the oars. Jesus saw them in the midst of all their troubles. You know, he sees us too when we're going through all of our aches and pains and trials and tribulations and that. Jesus is not just somebody who's up there just kind of overseeing everything and doesn't care. Jesus cares. He cares for you. He cares for all of us. He cares what we're going through. Sometimes it seems like he's so far away. But the Bible assures us he is there. Jesus was on the shore watching them. He could see them and he cared about them. Jesus knows where you are. Jesus cares about you. Cares about what you're going through. I have a poem I found. It says, God sees and God's care. I'd like to read it to you this morning. It speaks from Jesus' point of view. He says, My child, I know your sorrows, your every grief I share. I know how you are tested, and what is more, I care. Think not that I am indifferent to what affects thee. The weal and woe are matters of deep concern to me. But child, I have a purpose in all that I allow. I ask you then to trust me, though all seems dark just now. How often have you asked me to purge away your dross? But this refining process involves for you a cross. There is no other pathway if you would really be conformed into the image of him who died for thee. You cannot be like Jesus till self is crucified. And as a daily process, the cross must be applied. So we have to realize that God is trying to make us more like Jesus, to trust more in him, to become a better disciple, to grow and to become like Jesus. God is working. He does. His instructions were explicit. Go this way. And they got into trouble. But Jesus knew all about it. The second thing I want you to understand is his timing is perfect. Jesus had perfect timing. Verse 48, when he saw them straining at the oar, for the wind was against him, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch was generally between 3 and 6 a.m. It's the darkest part of night. So probably between 3 and 4 a.m. They're out there. Everything is dark. If you've ever been in a storm at sea, you can't tell the difference between the sea and the horizon. It's all just dark out there. And it's just a terrifying experience. It can be. I was on the USS Cleveland when I was in the Marine Corps. And we went through what they call a typhoon, hurricane. And we were running ahead of the hurricane. And the ship was up and down and back and forth all at the same time. It was just amazing. Everybody was getting seasick. And you go up on deck where you get a little bit of wind and everything. You wouldn't feel quite so bad. But you couldn't see the horizon. It was just all dark out there. And I can identify kind of what the disciples were going through. But he came to them at the darkest time. And let me tell you this. Jesus will come to you when it seems the absolute darkest. We think, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? You know, he's coming. He's there. And he came to them walking on the water. You notice, Jesus did not calm the storm. But he went to them in the middle of the storm, in the midst of the storm. And that's where he comes to us. So often, God, take this away from me. That's not the purpose. He'll come to you and he'll comfort you. He'll be with you in the midst of the storm while you're there. And that's such a key. The great evangelist John R. Rice used to say, some eyes will never see the Lord Jesus until there are tears enough to come and wash away the dust of things. Some ears will never listen to the still small voice of God until God stops their machinery and the din of their worldly business dies down. Sometimes God's got to bring us to our knees before we'll look up to him. And the idea is Jesus is here. And if you're undergoing trials and tribulations right now, I ask you to consider this. Is Jesus trying to teach you something? Is Jesus trying to say, come to me, my child. Look to me. Are you looking for Jesus in the midst of all your trials and tribulations? Because that's where Jesus comes to. He comes to us in the midst of our troubles. He doesn't make him go away. Well, sometimes he can make him go away, and sometimes he might. But you notice here, there's a phrase in this verse. It says, he intended to pass them by. What does that mean? Well, He wasn't just going to walk on by. And that's what some people say. He didn't care. He's just going to walk on by. That's not what that pass by means. When you go into scripture, you begin to see these different instances where God passed by. And the idea is he is going to show himself as he really is. He's going to show his glory, his power, his grace, his mercy. When God passes by, you will see evidence of God working in your life. Let me give you a couple of examples. You don't have to take my word for it. Over in the book of Exodus, you have Moses there, and he asked God, he said, I want to see you. How many of us have always said, God, I'd love to see you? Well, Moses was there on the mountain and said, God, let me see you. And God told him, he said, you can't see my face and live. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by. And I'm going to hold my hand over there, but once I've passed by, I'll take my hand off and you will see my back. You will see the train of my glory, but you will not see my face over in Exodus. God passed by. And many times we don't see how God passed by in our lives until he has already passed by and gone. And we look back and go, wow, that was of the Lord. Another example of that is found over in Elijah, 1 Kings. Chapter 19, and says, and he, the Holy Spirit, said to Elijah, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Now, note what happened when the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Quite a display of power when the Lord passed by. When God passes by, we can see the effects of what happens. Back to the disciples out in the boat. When Jesus was passing by there, what was he doing? Walking on the water. He was showing his mastery of the Lord of all creation, walking out through there. And quite honestly, it scared the snot out of the disciples. They were in the problem, and they see this, you know, and they recognized him only after he said, it is I. I mean, they're in enough trouble, and all of a sudden they think they start seeing ghosts out there on the water. Like, oh man, this is not getting any better. I can imagine doubting Thomas in there. This is not happening, folks. And so we have this. But Jesus' timing is perfect. He came to them in the midst of the trouble and at the darkest moment, and he shows up. There was a few decades ago now, actually, a Native African boy was brought to a missionary doctor in Africa, and he had a really high fever, and the doctor looked at him, and this was before they had lots of electricity and lots of other things that they have there now. And the doctor used what remedies he had there at his little clinic in the village, but there's nothing he could do to lower the boy's fever. And the mother of the boy was there, and she said, well, you have told us about this great God who can do anything. Can't your God do something to save my son? And the doctor kind of said, well, yeah, God can, but you know, where do you get ice in Africa when it's 100 degrees out there? And she said, will you pray and ask your God to save my son? And the missionary probably prayed much similar to what you and I would pray in that situation. God, we ask that you would just save the life of this boy. I don't know how you can do it, but please lower his fever. You know, and just... You know what I'm saying. When somebody asks you, I was a pastor, you know, in a couple different churches, and people come and ask you for impossible things. And of course, nothing is impossible with God, but our way of thinking, like, I don't see how this can happen. So the missionary was kind of mumbling his prayer, and finally the mother spoke up, and she said, God, if you are the God that this man has been telling us about, and he says my son needs ice, send ice, and I will believe in you. Simple prayer. No sooner did she finish and kabam, thunder started to rain. And the missionary walked over to the door and started hearing a thump, 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 thump on the roof of the clinic. They looked outside and walnut-sized chunks of hail were falling. And the people ran out and gathered it up and brought it in and put it in a tub and put the boy in there. And it was able to save him. The fever broke. God passed by. And to even kind of say, well, that's just, you know, it thunders and lightnings everywhere. The hail was central just to the village. It did not affect the crops surrounding the village. God passed by. Now, I don't have quite a neat, effective story like that, but, you know, like I say, most of the time we don't recognize God passing by in our lives. But just a couple, 3 weeks ago, I have some friends. We pastored in Alaska for 12 years and had a guy I'd led to the Lord up there and baptized him, good friends of ours now. We moved down here to Missouri. I retired from pastoring. I still get to preach, praise God, but I don't have to do business meetings anymore. It's the best life possible. But anyway, they came down to visit us in late July, first part of August, like the 27th through the 5th or 6th of August, something like that, from Alaska to visit us. And we had a great visit. And we were going along, and Sheila and I got a call from them in September. Now, they'd just been here the month before. Said, we'd like to come down and visit you again in October. Well, I checked the schedule. I said, well, I'm preaching a couple Sundays, and Sheila's teaching a Bible study here at Hillcrest and everything. I said, but other than that, I don't have anything on the schedule. So they said, well, we're going to come down and visit you. Okay. So we're going along, and my sister got really sick. In fact, she passed away on Thursday. But she was really sick, so a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, we drove up, got in the car, drive up to Peoria, Illinois to see her. And while we're going out, it was warm that day, so I turned the air conditioning on in the car. And driver's side, I had great air conditioning. I was a happy camper. On Sheila's side, there was no air conditioning. It was all just pure hot coming in out of the radiator exhaust, and she was not a happy camper. And so we ended up... also found out we had an oil leak in the car. So we called the people and they took a look at it and said, okay, we can get it fixed. But the problem is there's a GM strike going on and a Ford and Chrysler. All the auto workers are striking and we can't get parts. Okay, if you can't get them, you can't get them. So come down and our friends Bart and Kelly came down and we got the call from the dealership. Hey, we got the parts in. Bring the car in. Well, we only have the one car. So, but fortunately, Bart and Kelly drove in, and they took us down, let me drop the car off, and the whole week, my car was in the shop, they were here, and they took me up to the preaching points I was going to, and brought Sheila over here, and everything, and we were sitting at the table one evening, we had supper, and Bart looked at me, he calls me Pastor, he's always called me Pastor, he said, Pastor, he said, you know when we called and said we felt like we wanted to come back down and see you, he said, I don't know why I was wanting to come down and see you. I said, okay. he said, but I know now. And I said, what is that, Bart? He said, God laid it on my heart to come down here because you needed transportation this week. I hadn't thought about that. I'm the reverend, okay? I didn't think about that. But it's true. God sent a friend of mine 4,000 miles during a time because he knew 3 months ago that I would need transportation. I didn't know it. Bart didn't know it. None of us knew it. But he knew it. And he sent a friend 4,000 miles to drive me around. I realized God passed by. And I never realized it until he said that. So often in your life, I think you can look back on how God has passed by at times where, you know, maybe the need was not that great. I mean, I could have probably rented a car someplace and drove around. I probably could have gotten by, but I didn't need to because God was there. God wanted to show me that, Gary, I'm here. Open your eyes. And it wasn't until he passed by that my eyes were opened. Maybe you can relate some things along that line. So when we understand that when God passes by, it's usually afterwards that we recognize him. But that doesn't mean we can't stop and give him praise. We can't go and just simply have the time to worship him and say, God, you are so good. You know my needs. He is truly Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides your needs even before you know you have a need. God has gone down the road ahead of you and provided for you. His timing is impeccable. His timing is perfect. And he will come to you in the midst of your troubles and tribulations. It may be hospital visits, or it may be just simple, something simple as Your car's in the shop. But God cares about you. He cares about your problems. He cares about everything that's going on. His timing is there. Now, I want to take the idea that here in Mark, Mark brings us to the point where Peter sees, or the disciples see, Jesus out there, and then he comes to the boat. But we need to go over to Matthew and take a look over here in Matthew real quick, Matthew chapter 14, because Matthew tells a little bit more of the story of what was going on. And I want to tell you that Matthew points out that the call there was unmistakable. Now, let me just pause. Let me read, and then we'll come back and pause for a second. Over in Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him the other side. We read this before. It's the same. He sent the multitudes away, and when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there, and the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Well, we got that from Mark. Well, Matthew adds a little bit more here. Let me read this real quick, beginning verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had gone down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And he came and joined the boat, and the wind ceased. We have this story here. Well, why didn't Mark include that part? Well, let me just give you a little bit of teaching here. Most people, most scholars, Bible scholars, believe that Mark, we were introduced to Mark in the book of Acts. He went out on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. He's a cousin of Barnabas. And they went out, and then Mark got scared or whatever and come back, John Mark. Second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas was getting ready to go out, and Barnabas said, let's take Mark. And Paul said, no, he quit last time. He's not going with me. They had a big discussion. I'll put that. Okay. Anyway, so it ended up Paul and Silas went one way. Barnabas and Mark went the other. That how deep the discussion was. And so later we find that actually Paul says, go get Mark and bring him because the rift between Paul and Mark was healed. But scholars tell us that Mark also traveled with Peter and was probably Peter's biographer. The Gospel of Mark is probably the Gospel of Peter written by Mark. And that's what a lot of scholars believe. And so I don't know why Mark doesn't include the part Peter walking on the water. Maybe Peter didn't tell Mark about that. Mark wasn't there. He wasn't one of the original disciples. But Matthew was, and he saw it. Maybe Peter wanted to be humble. Humble Peter. Let you dwell on that for a minute. About him walking on the water. But maybe he was embarrassed that not only did he walk on water, but he also began to sink. And Jesus had to rescue him. But whatever you want to think about Peter there, there was 11 other guys that didn't bother to get out of the boat. I'll tell you that much. So Peter had the faith to get out and go. The two stories aren't different. They're complementary. They add there. And so Peter sees Jesus out on the water. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, what did he say? Help me, church. Come. Come. You know, whenever we're in trouble and we see Jesus, what does he say to us? Help me. Come. He says to you, come. Take courage. It's me. Jesus said, come unto me, all you at labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We see the message of Jesus and us. Whenever we come to him, he tells us, come, 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 come to me. Test him, try him, prove him, says over in Malachi. Come to Jesus. But to come to Jesus, you got to get out of the boat. What's the boat, you say? Good question. The boat is whatever you're clinging to right now, hanging on to, thinking, if I turn loose of this, all is lost. It might be your money. It might be your prestige. It might be whatever. But you're afraid to turn loose because if I give this over to the Lord Jesus, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'll do. When you're in trouble, you say, man, I got to do this. I got to do that. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Trust me. Try me. Prove me. Come to me. The one thing I can tell you today is you can't come to Jesus and stay in the boat. You got to give it over to him. Whatever your problem is, whatever you're trying to accomplish in your life, you got to give it over to Jesus. He wants you to come to him. We have to trust God to do what we ourselves cannot do. That starts with salvation. God's not interested in our works. We don't come to salvation. We don't come to Christ by works. We come to him because we step out of the boat by faith. You are saved. Grace, you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It itself is a gift of God. So when we exercise our faith, which God has given us, and he extends his grace to us, we come to Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of the relationship. If you've never come to Christ, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, to be the Lord and the Savior of your soul, you need to come to him today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, the moment is now. You're not guaranteed another moment. My sister passed away, I mentioned on Thursday, 82 years old. When I saw her last time I saw her, she was getting ready to go in to do some surgery. But she didn't know. She didn't know she was going to be passing. I was talking to Sheila yesterday. I said, well, my mom and dad are gone. My sister's gone. I guess I'm next. You know? Well, and that can happen at any time. Maybe you're the one that's next. I don't know. I can open up the newspaper and I read all sorts of obituaries. Were all of those people expecting something to happen? Probably not. Are you ready? Today's the day of salvation. Are you ready to step out of the boat and saying, I'm going to do it myself and come to Christ? You cannot. You cannot come to Christ on your own. You have to get out of the boat. You have to walk by faith. Well, what does that mean? I don't know what will happen if I get saved. Well, I don't know what's going to happen either, other than you're going to have a heavenly home. We're going to have a home in heaven. You know, so many people are trusting in themselves. In Luke chapter 18, a rich young ruler come to Jesus Christ. And he had a great question, a question that maybe some of you have asked, maybe all of us have asked. What must I do to inherit eternal life? To be saved, if you would. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, looked upon him and so it said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father. Jesus listed 5 of the 10 commandments right there, all relating to other people. And the rich young ruler said, all these things I've kept since my youth. Well, this is where Jesus shows a lot of grace, and I probably wouldn't. I'd have been like, oh, really? you've always did everything that your mom and dad told you to do growing up, right? Jesus didn't say that. Pastor Gary Prater would have, but I didn't. Jesus didn't. So when Jesus heard these things, he told the young man, he says, one thing you lack. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. And the Bible says the young man went away sorrowful because he was very rich. What was his boat? He was very rich. He could not give it all over to Jesus Christ. He had to hang on to it himself. His money was his boat. That's what he trusted in and everything. I heard a story one time of a man who was really struggling about giving his life to Christ because he says, I'd have to give everything over to Christ. And he had a dream one night, according to what I read, where Jesus was there. And basically the dream went like this. Jesus, he said, if I give my life to you, I'm going to have to give up my house. Jesus said, yes. I'll have to give up my car. Yes. I'll have to give up my family. Yes. You have to give it all. All my money. Yes. And the man said he woke up weeping. And then he said, Jesus, I'll give it all to you. And he said, I took my keys out of my pants pocket and laid it there. And he said, I just turned it all over to Christ. And he said, you know, the thing is, Jesus took all that I had and then he gave it back to me. And he said, you know, my son, come follow me. You see, we have to give it all and then come follow Jesus. The question is, are you willing to leave it all behind today? What are you hanging on to today that you can't give Jesus? This would be the day to hand it over to him. Sometimes he goes and takes it, hangs on to it. We have addictions. We have problems. We have all sorts of things, hang-ups in our lives, fears. Jesus, turn them over to me. I'll take them. I bore your sins on the cross. And there's other things, like our families, we turn them over to him. And Jesus takes them and wants to use you and work through your life and their lives and make them disciples. So what are you hanging on to? What can't you give to Jesus today? Because Jesus has come. Come to me. And that's really the question today. And we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. Give us an opportunity to think upon these things about what Jesus is calling you to do because he's saying, come. Let's stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, you've said to us, come to me, all your labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Lord, everyone here in this building and everyone watching online have struggled at one time or another. And many of us are struggling even today. Many are laden down with problems and cares. And they feel so alone and they don't want to face it alone. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every heart here today and that we would respond by coming to you. Help us to respond and come with all of our burdens, all of our cares. And I pray especially for those who do not know you as Lord and Savior. I pray that this would be the day they come to you because today is a day of salvation. That's what your word says. I pray for those who are struggling, those caught in the storms of life. Father, I pray that you'd call out to you today as Peter did and then come to you as you pass by. Lord, have your will, your way done during this time of invitation. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.